We're on the phone with the founder of 11 James, Randy Brandoff. Randy, how you doing, buddy?
I am fantastic. Ammon, how are you, my friend?
Very good. Before we start and I tell people what you're all about, I can't believe it's been 2 years since we've known each other, man.
It's no pun intended. Time truly has flown by, hasn't it?
It's all about timing, my friend. And you and I'm actually really excited to interview you, 'cause I've been very privy to, you know, the pre-launch of what you've accomplished and written about, and it's a very interesting concept. 11 James is a private watch club, if you will, a private membership club, and Randy is totally reinventing sort of the watch model. I'm sure the watch companies must love you. Do you want to kind of, you know, maybe give an intro to what your company's all about and how you came up with the concept?
Absolutely, I would love to. I first had this idea at this point about 8 years ago. And very simply, I had the great opportunity back in 2001 to become the first employee of Marquee Jet. And that gave me, if you're familiar, Marquee Jet was the Jet Card program affiliated with NetJets, the worldwide leader in private aviation. And it gave me a front row seat to the rise of luxury collaborative consumption. And basically what Marquee and NetJets did for private aviation, we watched Exclusive Resorts and now Inspirato doing for vacation clubs. And along the way, you had Rent the Runway, Bag, Borrow, and Steal, Classic Car Club, and all of these different models that now begot an Uber or an Airbnb that basically took luxury asset classes that previously had to be outright owned and were providing the consumer with the ability to access and enjoy it without ownership. And that really has redefined the luxury market in today's world from one of access and experience to and away from one of ownership. And if you want to crystallize that notion, if you think of 30 plus years ago, if I said to you that, you know, fast forward a generation and most guys won't own their cars, you would have told me I was absolutely crazy. And now it's absolutely the reality, because it's not about, you don't grow up dreaming of owning anymore. You just dream of having what you want when you want it.
This is like the ultimate men's fantasy, right?
It's exactly right.
Because you're not committing to anything. In fact, I think this must, this is probably good for relationships as well, because a man in a relationship with a woman is probably, she's not going to be as upset to him putting like 40 grand on a watch as having partial sort of ownership of the watch.
It's honestly, it is very good for relationships in that standpoint. I know, you know, myself, I'm probably in a similar boat. There's been times, you know, as you have some kids and schools and things of that nature, where you tell your significant other to please take it easy on the dresses and handbags and the like. And in return, you have to take it easy yourself. And being able to access 3 or 6 different watches per year for a fraction of the price of buying one is definitely a reasonable hedge and is behaving responsibly. But I will tell you, we're not against ownership. I started this first and foremost because I love watches and own quite a few. And I am a big believer in owning and collecting watches that you're passionate about. I've just also thought that it made sense to offer an alternative too for folks who didn't necessarily want to own a great variety, didn't have the means to, or their collection had gone so big that it felt limiting at this point. There's diminishing returns when they added each additional watch. And most importantly, our program is fundamentally a try before you buy, in that you get to wear to each watch for 2 months at a time and decide, is it not just what you covered in the window and then tried on and realized it wasn't what you thought it was for you, but actually know, oh no, this is it. This is exactly what I want. Or I love this watch and brand, but I want it in a different face color, different material, you name it. This is really giving people a test drive where previously this industry didn't exist.
Well, it's pretty amazing, Randy. You've gotten a lot of press, which I've read, which is absolutely outstanding, because you literally just launched the company before the new year, right? So, I mean, there's going to be resistance to anything new. But I think a lot of people may think, you know, the watch companies may think one way. The consumers, the novices, the experts, the aficionados may think another way. But honestly speaking, just from being in the watch industry my whole life and being privy to this information a year before anyone else, I think this is an outstanding idea because I think it's going to do nothing but create more business for the watch industry.
I can tell you, and yes, it's a relatively small sample size, but I can tell you, one, there are many watch brands that see this potential and are already excited about it and are already working with us. And, you know, it's also, you have to think about it, there are a lot of people out there who are Rolex people, and that's all they have, and that's all they've ever worn. And if you're, you know, from Panerai to, you know, insert any other, you know, brand name here, and all you ever wanted to do was give that person, have that person try yours and just try and experiment with a different brand. But the hurdle to buying a different brand when you're a one brand person was really high. With 11 James, if I've only owned Rolexes, I may want to wear some of the Rolexes in 11 James, but I'll probably also want to access some watches that I've been curious about that aren't Rolex. And that's why this program is so valuable to the brand. It gets people who haven't necessarily previously experienced your brand to try it and enjoy it. And so it's great for the major brands. It's also great for a lot of the discovery brands.
So take me through this, Randy. Like, what happens when a person wants to sign up? I mean, do they – I know they have – I mean, I checked out the website, which is really nice, by the way. I know that you have, you know, different sort of categories of, you know, aficionado and things like that. Do you want to run through what those are?
Absolutely. To join 11 James is really making two simple choices. The first is, which collection of watches do you want primary access to? And our collections, you know, begin at our aficionado collection, which are watches primarily steel and construction. They tend to be the entry level to the world of fine horology. They are, you know, it's brands you'd expect that play in the typically 7,000 to 15,000 retail environment, from a Rolex and a Breitling to IWC, you know, Hublot, Jaeger LeCoultre, Goschutte Original, and so many more. And then next stage up would be connoisseur. Those are slightly more complicated watches, the introduction of some precious metals, some newer, you know, additional brands where you'll see like an F. Pigeon or a Patek Philippe, an Audemars Piguet, and others. And then it goes up to our Virtuoso as our highest collection. Those are watches that retail between $30,000 and $50,000. Each watch in and of itself is particularly rare and unique and very special. And basically you choose which of those collections you want access to. And then your second choice is how often, you know, we call what your frequency. And there's two options right now for simplicity. There's effectively a watch all the time, which would be 6 different 2-month rotations across the year, or a watch some of the time, 3 different 2-month rotations across the year. So originally I contemplated only doing the all the time option, but I came to speak to dozens of folks who said, I love this for variety, but half the time I want to wear what I already own. So we gave them both those options. And then ultimately your choice of collection and frequency equates to a price point. Our pricing ranges from 3 rotations at the aficionado level is $2,700 for the year or $250 a month, up to the other end of the spectrum, 6 rotations a year of Virtuoso is going to be $17,250 per year or about $1,600 per month. And a lot of points in between. And then that last option is simply, do you want to prepay for the year and enjoy additional savings, or do you want to pay monthly across the 12 months?
And when you pay up front for the year, you get like a 10% discount or something?
That's exactly right. And at every level of membership, you enjoy the great event calendar that we've put together that are, you know, about education and discovery, but as well as fun parties. There's thousands of dollars of value-added benefits from our luxury brand partners. There's concierge services, personal collection assistance, and a really robust referral and rewards program. Because we know that the average individual who enjoys like nice watches tends to have friends, family, and or colleagues who also enjoy nice watches. So we want that when they're telling them about it and encouraging them to also join the club, we want them to be rewarded for that.
The good thing is for you is that those guys who are like, I only want to wear a smartwatch, I can't commit, I have the time on my phone, you know, all the classic BS you hear all day long of why they shouldn't own a wristwatch today. It also caters to those people too who don't want to commit. You know, a lot of those people don't want to commit because buying a watch today is pricey. I mean, listen, 10 years ago, $5,000 for a watch was totally acceptable. A good watch. Today, I mean, it's 10 grand. It's ridiculous. But I think you're
exactly right.
I think your service that you're offering is really, really intuitive and makes people feel like they're a part of the experience without committing. And it's fun. I mean, most of all, it's fun. I think that's the best part, is that you really get to enjoy something without, you know, having to immerse yourself all the way. Because who has the time? But at the same time, Randy, my questions to you is, you know, with this, who are the people that are servicing your clients? I mean, I know you have concierge people, but are they people who have been in the industry? Are there people that you're training as we speak? Are they people that, you know, you're putting through an education program to get fine-tuned with the industry? And how does that all work? Because I know that, you know, you compile a lot of data to make sure that, you know, your clients are getting a complete luxury experience with people who know what they're talking about.
It's a multi-part answer and a great question that I appreciate. The first place to start is probably the best to explain how you are paired with each watch. And the best example or analogy I can give you is to think of a Pandora or a Spotify. You know, our whole notion is we have a large collection that's growing, you know, at a meaningful number, you know, 30 or 50 watches per month, let's say. So if you join across a year, the collection at the end of that year is going to be massively bigger than the collection when it started. And we want you to be able to take advantage of that growth and, you know, and that dynamism in the collection. So when you join as a member, we create what's called your unique watch profile. And that's both from a meeting and or conversation with a concierge where, you know, we'll ask a number of questions. What do you own? What do you like? What don't you like? What do you, you know, what are your hot button issues? My favorite pun that a member said was what makes them tick, and then begin to understand, you know, what is going to make you happy and thrill you each and every time. And then every time you are due a watch, we look at what's available and what's been, immediately added to the collection and what we have available for at that given month and what we think will make you the most happy. And we, you know, confidently pair you, send you that watch with the failsafe that if you open the box and it's not what you anticipated, send it back and we'll send you a new one right away. But our members also enjoy the notion, that element of surprise of opening the box and seeing what gift is in store for them. So it's both using technology, and we have a members only website that allows you to constantly, you know, as frequently as you want, update your unique profile, continue to rate watches in our collection.
Now, when you have clients that obviously are watch savvy and that do go online and that do, you know, keep up with the forums and the message boards and stuff like that. How do you deal with somebody that, you know, is kind of a ball buster to your, you know, to your concierge team that's kind of like looking for like technical information that maybe your concierge doesn't know?
I mean, listen, service, I can tell you two things. Service and providing just exceptional and personalized service to our members is paramount in everything that we do.
Right.
Part of great service is not faking it. So our, you know, everyone on our team knows to provide as educated an answer as you can in any situation. And when someone's question exceeds your knowledge, to say so. And, you know, what is great service is not knowing every answer. It's being proactive in getting someone the answer they desire. And in our instance, we have many experts who serve in curation and advisory roles. And very frequently, we have put them in contact with members who had specific questions that exceeded the knowledge base of our concierge.
So why haven't I been called?
Because I know how busy you are.
Good answer, Randy. So what about things like Basel and Geneva? I would think that's part and parcel that, of course, I would think that that's going to be part of your MO to, you know, go to these watch fairs to keep up to date with the knowledge and the know-how and the whereabout and the latest and greatest.
Absolutely. It is our intent in the future to have a presence at all of the major watch fairs, international, domestic, and otherwise. This year, as we're still doing very foundational blocking and tackling, it didn't seem the best use of our time and resources. We intend to start going next year and beyond. But, of course, we're reading any and everything we can get our hands on from all of these shows and have quite a few friends and contacts at these shows who are keeping us well-versed in what we're missing.
Great. So, I saw the collection on your website of what you have. It's very impressive. A great starter
point.
That's
a fraction. In reality, that's a fraction of what we currently have, and obviously
sure,
an even smaller fraction of what we will you know, what we're continuing to add on a weekly and monthly basis.
I see what you have there. I think it's pretty eclectic. I mean, I saw the, you know, for instance, things that you probably wouldn't see just anywhere, like, you know, Bamford and Sons Rolex Milgauss, you know, the all black sort of finishing that has been very popular in the last 5 years. You know, that's an interesting piece. And, you know, it's amazing. I don't know, you know, how, I mean, I'm sure you have to keep up with the industry. It's your business now, but, you know, I've been getting a lot of calls on this LeBron James Audemars Piguet. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's insane.
I have seen it. I think that it's an exceptional timepiece.
Yep.
I think that it is, you know, there's styling that's down the fairway and there's styling that's a little bit towards one side or the other. I would say that by and large, I would say that that piece in particular is polarizing. I know people who think it's the coolest thing they've seen and other people who think it's not for them.
Right.
And by and large, we've tried in our early curation to have pieces that would appeal to that we would confidently believe would appeal to a good, a meaningful subset of our membership at any given moment.
You know, I think it's great to have limited edition pieces in your collection, but at the same time, you have to toe a very fine line between, you know, alienating the general public as well, right? Like, a lot of these people who are collecting, a lot of them may have heard of watches and want to get into it, and that's why the whole try before you buy is a great sort of thing. I know you and I have discussed in the past about working together, and we have worked together, and I appreciate working together with you, and I hope that continues in the future.
Absolutely.
I think we can absolutely complement each other. And, you know, I think we're both each other's biggest fans, so I think that's great. What do you feel about, like, you know, I know that you had mentioned that, you know, your introductory level membership starts, you know, for watches in the $7,000 to $15,000 range. Have you thought about, you know, what about the lower end brands, like the 3 to 5s? Would you be willing to play in that market share? I'm sure that would be a great way for people to really get hooked onto the brand of 11 James.
I would say that is a definite longer term. We envision having, you know, not 3, but 4, 5, 6, you know, or more collections. Like anything else, you need to start somewhere.
Sure.
And our starting point seemed reasonable based on the retail price points that a lot of luxury watches are huddling around, 7 to 15 thousand, 15 to 30, 30 to 50. But we absolutely envision having a collection that, you know, probably in the 3 to 7 with an average of $5,000 retail. I think it's a huge potential market for us. And some brands, you know, from Tudor to a Montblanc, to, you know, a strong handful of others that have some beautiful, you know, and interesting timepieces in that price range. But the reality is we just had to start somewhere, started where we started, and time will tell how quickly and we're able to expand in that way.
Well, I think it's interesting you mentioned Tudor and Montblanc, because I was going to bring those up to you anyway. Tudor is, like, I mean, phenomenal. You and I have discussed this off the record, but, I mean, I've never seen a brand so hot, and not just one piece, but, you know, 5, 6, 7 pieces in their collection are very, very, very strong and selling, mm-hmm. selling like incredibly well. What is your reaction to the brand being relaunched in the United States? And, you know, do you think it's a good move on their part? And do you think that it's going to open the doors to the intra-luxury market in a way that's never been opened before? Intra-luxury market meaning the $3,000 to $5,000 price range.
Just to clarify one element to your question, I don't think that it's never been there before. I think that it was there, and as you just said, it has been abandoned. And I think it's backfilling. You know, back a decade plus ago, you had the majority of these brands with offerings in the, you know, $3,000 to $5,000, $3,000 to $7,000 range. And I think the statistic is across the last decade, the average entry-level luxury watch has appreciated in price about 86%. So obviously that priced out of that entire category, and now there's a void. And I think Tudor has very shrewdly attacked that void with an unbelievably compelling, stylistically, product line. And I am a fan as much as anyone else. I think that their initial line is beautiful. And as someone who personally enjoys watches, I can't wait to have a few in my collection.
I really feel like it's a great, great thing for the entire watch industry, not just for the Rolex family, but for the watch industry. And even now with Montblanc, I mean, you know, I've seen Montblanc in its inception. I've seen, you know, when I was a retailer, we used to have a shop in shop. We carried all their accessories. We carried everything you can imagine. And, you know, towards the end of our venture in retail, you know, we were carrying their watches. I think we carried their watches from the beginning. But when they started getting more serious, I think this SIHH 2014 proved to be one of the most successful SIHHs in a long time. But more importantly, from what I'm hearing from a lot of people, Montblanc really almost stole the show. And with their, you know, their perpetual calendar in steel for $13,000 and their, you know, perpetual calendar in pink gold for $22,000 or $23,000, I mean, you can't compete.
I couldn't agree with you more, and that's what I think is so very interesting. You know, I've been asked by people who really didn't know any better. I was recently asked a question, so at what price point can you start getting complications, and at what price point should I expect to find a given complication? And I said it's not so black and white, and that's what makes collecting and just being an enthusiast and a lover of these watches so interesting. Is that in the last handful of years, you've seen brands make remarkable pieces at prices never before attainable. And it's really expanded the spectrum of what can be had and at what price point. So I think it's net – I can't imagine an argument where it's net bad for anyone. I think it's all net great for the consumer who wants to, you know, try and experience these things and doesn't necessarily have unlimited budget, you know, for some of the six or even seven-figure pieces that have always been, you know, the most complicated and exceptional, and they now can find them in, you know, not inexpensive, but at price points that more people can get their head around.
Absolutely. And, you know, talking about accessibility, what do you feel about, you know, I mean, I know, listen, I mean, the questions I'm asking you obviously are long-term. I know you're a new company. I know that you had to start somewhere. I know that it will be forever evolving, which is great about your business model. I love that. Do you see in the future being able to do things like trade-in programs whereby people can come and trade in their watches or participate somehow with things they already have? And, you know, how do you...
Absolutely. If you consider the fact that watches, a small fraction of 1% of watches ever quote-unquote die, you know, in a given year, and they just tend to exist on individual or business shelves, there's many billions of dollars of beautiful watches sitting that are as young as 6 months or a year old to many years old and vintage, sitting there largely idle. And when you think about a business such as this one, where there's demand to access and enjoy those pieces, we want to be as flexible as possible. When someone calls up and says, "Hey, I have a large, you know, mid-sized, large collection, whatever it is, and some percentage of it I'm hardly wearing, but if I could use that as collateral to wear other new pieces in a given year, that would be a win for me as a customer, or in our instance, a member." And assuming it's something worthy of your collection, it could be a win for your customers as well. And so we've already had a number of members who have loaned watches to our program. It's very simple. It had to be a watch that we would believe would be in high demand. It had to be in fine working condition. And if it needed any repair, we would do the repair work, as you know, and that cost, you know, the cost put into that repair would factor into the cost of their membership.
Sure.
And on the backside, we are doing a complete overhaul and service of that watch before they get it back. So they're getting it back in almost all instances in better condition than the condition in which we got it.
Wow, what a great partnership. I mean, you're really, you know, what I love about what you're doing is you're making it a completely 100% interactive experience, not just try before you buy, but making the consumer and consumer feel like there's somebody there on their side. Because so many times what I feel in retail, when someone goes into a store, the problem is that and I'm sure you've experienced the same, you know, at some point in your life, that you go into a store and you just get the feeling that it's all about the hustle. It's all about the sale. It's all about what I've got in my inventory and what I've got in my stock. And there's no personal connection. There's no assistance. There's no guidance. And, you know, one thing I feel about your business is that you're really desensitizing that whole thing. You're making it a completely interactive experience, unlike any other.
And I appreciate that, you know, wholeheartedly. And most of all, I appreciate your noticing, because we're working very hard to do this and to be incredibly customer driven. You know, to use some examples, and I've been a student of, you know, the luxury game, for lack of a better, for a decade plus. And you look at some retailers, both traditional box retailers, who, you know, have some well-known stories of taking back returns of merchandise they didn't sell in the first place just because the customer is always right, to some new online or predominantly online retailers who are providing a level of customer service unimaginable even a decade ago, and really are creating a luxury experience at price points that were always, you know, forever way below where one would expect luxury. And you juxtapose that against a luxury watch industry that's default position heretofore has been, for most every service incident, to initially and by default say, oh, you dropped it or you broke it. And it's really unbelievably contradictory. And I viewed that not as a negative, but just as a real opportunity to provide a meaningful level of customer service to an industry that somehow, you know, has prioritize making unbelievably interesting and compelling pieces, but not necessarily connecting the dots in a modern way as far as customer service.
I think it's one of those things, you're going to set the precedent. I'm sure you're going to try. I'm sure you're not that you want to think about this right now because you're trying to build a business, but I'm sure there's going to be people who are going to follow in your lead and try to do the same thing. I'm sure you've thought of it. I'm sure you know it's going to happen. I'm sure, because once, as you know, once anything is successful, the followers come.
100%, I think it's flattering. If you're being emulated, it means you're having success and you have a good idea. I think that the key is always to out-execute and to scale bigger than everyone else.
Sure.
But what I would say, and you know, what makes me sleep comfortably at night, is anyone can create a brochure that says the same things that you say.
Right.
But it's very hard to fake service. It's
yep.
very hard to fake real, you know, compassion and a member orientation. And I know that's what we have. It's in our fiber and in our culture. And so when others come and try and say what we say, it'll be incumbent upon them to do what we do.
It's like these bloggers out there that I see. Anyone can put a press release together. Anyone can just, you know, spit out a press release and say it's their own. How are you going to make it different? How are you going to make it your own? And I think that's what you guys are doing. You guys are making this a completely individual and unique experience, unlike any other. And that's what's going to separate you from the rest. It already has, because it doesn't exist. Before you guys came along, it did not exist. Which leads me to, I mean, besides me being, you know, my mind wandering and being like, huh, 11 James, is that Randy's adult film star name? Where did it really come from?
That's an amazing question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The honest answer was I heard a story forever ago at an Etch-Etch event of back on the set of James Bond films, and I've always been a Bond fan. They used to present Bond with 11 different watches or gadgets they had made for that movie, and he, you know, he got to pick of the ones that he wanted for that film, and James Bond was the prototypical, you know, to me, in my mind, the perfect vision of a member. And the notion of a choice between 11 different watches was exactly, you know, effectively what we were doing. And it just seemed, in my head, it was like 11 James. It's ownable. It kind of harkens or winks towards time without being, you know, something that is yet another pun or play on time or watch or something of that ilk, which will sound familiar to people, but also confusing because there's 27 other names just like it. And so something that we could own, it harkened to luxury, it sounded like it had a heritage, and it had an authentic story behind it.
and totally original. And what guy doesn't get a boner when they hear about James Bond and his gadgets? I mean, even till today, when you're a kid, you're like, wow, this is awesome. I love James Bond. And now,
Bond was about the hot cars, the hot girls, and the hot watches and gadgets.
You know what I like about it as well, Randy, is that it sounds very British almost. It's like, oh, right, I'm going to go get to 11 James. You know, it's like one of those very sophisticated things that, you know, that's what I love about your brand, too. Just in the name alone, it piques the curiosity of those who are like, what is 11 James? Even if you have no idea it's a watch thing, even if you have no idea it's luxury, you automatically want to know because it's not something you put two and two together and say, ah, James Bond, 11 watches, 11, you know what I mean? So that's really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'm really happy for you, man. I couldn't be happier. You deserve it. And as the brand evolves also, I'm sure you're going to get into vintage pieces too, right?
It is absolutely part of the vision. We think every collection should represent a balance between latest, greatest, new models, new brands and models, iconic brands and models, discovery brands and models, and vintage. But as to get going, you know, vintage, there's so many layers to peel back as you get into vintage and what's most appropriate and what will have the most demand. It seems there's more pockets of interest as opposed to universal appeal. So we wanted to get going a bit before and better understand and have more member data to better inform collecting vintage pieces rather than just throw them out there and expect there would be demand.
Well, I don't know if you've been keeping up. I'm sure you have. But recently, very recently, the whole debacle with John Mayer and his vintage pieces. Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that. I think it more than anything, it speaks to the challenge across the industry, across our industry, of there being some less than savory people, you know, out and about, but more importantly, there being some really high caliber fakes, and you know, and ways of faking if not the watch itself, but you know, swapping out parts and components. And I think that, you know, I want to believe in the best intentions of you know, any and every watch that was sold to him. I want to believe was meant and envisioned as being original.
And right, earnest, absolutely.
And I believe that to be the case. And I think that shows you the challenge in this industry that, you know, in authenticating everything that there is. It's certainly a challenge in our business, and that's why we have some meaningful security measures. Some obvious and some less so, to make sure that any watch we're getting back is in the exact condition and with the exact pieces of what we gave it out.
You know, it's amazing, Randy. I get asked all the time for vintage, especially, I'm sure you must as well. I mean, even though you're very new, I'm sure you already must get questions like, you know, can you get me a vintage Paul Newman Daytona or a vintage, you know, Sean Connery Bond Submariner or the double Red Sea Dwellers or any of the stuff that's extremely rare. I don't know if you just saw it auctioned at Antiquorum. The Big Crown Submariner just went for $210,000 because it had an Explorer dial. It's the first Rolex, I think, Submariner that we've seen with an Explorer 1 dial and with the big 8mm brevet crown. You know, I mean, it's amazing that Rolexes are still commanding, especially vintage ones, when you consider the bracelets were, you know, not as well made, clearly as well made as they are now. They're like tinfoil. They were really light. They were hollow. But you know what? It's not about that. It's about getting something that's rare. I think, you know, the security measures have to be extremely high. When people ask me for vintage, man, I run as far away from it as possible because the chances are so much greater. As much as I really want to play in that market, unless I have Rolex sitting right next door to me and I'm able to send it to them. And even Rolex themselves, I know, they don't like to really take in watches that are beyond a certain year old. And there are a lot of Franken watches out there. A lot of people call them Franken watches. I just think it's going to be more difficult over time unless you have, like, the most incredible expert on the market. But even then, it's like, you know, Rolex has so many more places that they put their trademarks in with holograms and things like that today. It's more sophisticated. It's more subtle. But, you know, Rolex themselves know where they are. Back in the day, they didn't have that kind of sophistication.
at every level of public and private life, there's, you know, a constant cat and mouse game between, you know, being protecting originality and fraud and theft protection and those who are trying to beat the system. And this industry isn't any different, unfortunately. I think that it's impossible to expect having, you know, weeding that out to zero.
Right.
You know, if I think of 11 James is here, you know, and existing and thriving across the next decades, I think that will there ever be an incident where, in spite of our best efforts, someone did something and got it by us for an, you know, for a short period of time until we figured that out? I'm sure that will happen. But I can assure you that the measures we're taking are way beyond ordinary measures to ensure that that doesn't happen. And if it happens, it's the absolute exception and not the rule. But I can tell you on the flip side, I've heard of people saying, you know, why are you being the middleman? Why don't you just do effectively an Airbnb for watches and have just people put up a website and let people swap, you know, loan watches to perfect strangers all across the country or the world? And I said, because I guarantee you in that instance, there's going to be fraud, you know,
all day, every day.
A lot of good people would get taken in a very bad way if that happened.
Well, yeah, and I think it's very important for you also to have, you know, good partnerships where if, let's say someone wants, like, what is going to be your approach when someone does want a new watch, let's say, and they're like, you know what, we've tried it. Will you have referral programs with other partners?
Absolutely. It's our vision to have active relationships, you know, with ultimately every brand that we carry. And, you know, when someone comes in and says, I love this and I want it new, to go first to the brand and say, you know, we have a person in this geography who wants it new. Tell us where you want us to send them, whether
right.
you want their email and you'll contact them directly or not. That's absolutely part of what we intend to do. And we've already done that with a few of the brands and people who wanted to purchase watches.
That's great. That's wonderful. Like I said before, Randy, I think that this is going to create, you know, I'm sure you've heard a lot of different things about your business model, and I'm sure I know you've gotten a lot of positive feedback, and I'm sure you've gotten some not so positive feedback. I've seen some of the comments, and I just don't see a downside to this because it's creating awareness. It's making people engaged in something that they may never have had the opportunity to do before, and it's giving more business to the watch industry.
I absolutely believe it is doing. I think one, from taking the next generation of 20 and 30 somethings who didn't, it's the first generation who didn't grow up telling time, you know, via a watch, but had a phone in their pocket, who also are part of the access and experience generation, but are now, this is their dipping their toe in the water for luxury watches. That's a huge opportunity to, you know, we have many members who had said that they had become, you know, for lack of a better, bored at collecting. You know, at some point they had enough watches and realized they only had one wrist and they kind of stopped actively collecting. And they have now gotten excited again, having become a member, worn three or four different watches across, you know, 6 months, and said, wow, this is unbelievable. I forgot how much I love this, and are now excited and back in the game. So I think we are not about cannibalizing what the existing, you know, body of active watch lovers, but about broadening the moat to, you know, hopefully unforeseen extent.
Now, can you mention who your luxury partners are that you'll be doing co-branding events with at the moment, or is that still being worked out?
I mean, we have quite a few partners already and many more in the hopper. You know, some partners include private jet partners like a Wheels Up, jewelry partners like a Quiat, you know, partners in you know, other hospitality partners like a Quintessentially. But there's so many more in the hopper and on the horizon.
Which is great because that broadens the horizon for their clients, for you, and vice versa. So it's really a scratching of the backs in a luxury way, which is awesome. I mean, I know a lot of this is going to be word of mouth. You know, it's a club, and in any club, it's kind of like a word of mouth where people are directed to the website and things like that. But do you see social media being a big part of this as well?
We absolutely do. And we do have social sites. We are active. But what we're trying to do is figure out what our voice is and have it different than some of the predominant voices out there that tend to be not, you know, for lack of a better, and forgive the pun, watch porn, or
right.
just show another stimulating picture and, you know, have that incentivize nonstop oohs and ahs, you know, in responses, but
yep.
to actually engender a real conversation or a discussion on a given topic, sometimes 100% specific to, you know, a hot topic in watches, and other times even ancillary or just, you know, related. And that's, we're trying to do that. We want to have a conversation and a dialogue with our members, with prospective members, but we think it's a huge opportunity. And one that I'm excited about, the private and private aviation in my background really limited what you could do socially. But here we don't have such limitations, and we have an audience who likes to join a conversation, and so we're trying to figure out how to give them one.
But by having the private aviation as a part of it, and having your experience there, I'm sure that's also going to – that can bridge the gap between, you know, you and even the watch manufacturers to do luxury tours of the facilities in Switzerland and Germany if they want to do a luxury private package, you know?
I think, you know, my background at Marquis Jet and NetJets provide – and the relationships generated, you know, since 2001 – provide a wealth of opportunities and interesting add-ons that have never been seen or contemplated in this industry. And that's one of the many things we're really excited about. So I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I think that, you know, Randy, that's, you know, the general public, it's very rare they'll ever have the opportunity or are even aware that it exists to be able to tour these facilities. You know, I know before the new year, you know, the top 4 or 5 watch bloggers in the world were invited to go to Rolex for the first time, you know, and tour the entire facility, not just one building, but all of them, from, you know, the refinery where they make their own Everose and how they pressure test and where they, you know, the gem setters and all of that stuff. All of them said the same thing. Like, we went in there being like, okay, it's Rolex, and we left being like, we want a Rolex now, you know? And that's the thing. It's like, by making it accessible to the general public and making them see things like this firsthand and seeing how these things are made, I mean, it gives you an appreciation that you would never have known or had before.
I couldn't agree more. And it's all part of the education and discovery process that we think is paramount in everything we're doing.
Randy, I really, really appreciate you doing this. I'm very excited for you, and I'm also excited to work with you in the future. And I really hope you and wish you nothing but continued success. And, you know, we will be in touch really soon, my friend.
That means your belief and faith and friendship means the world to me and the team at 11 James. You know, as we've talked many times offline, how much I believe in you and what you're doing, and how I am also your biggest fan. And I also really appreciate this opportunity to talk to your audience, who is a knowledgeable one. I know, if I know anything about them, I know how knowledgeable they are, because they know to listen to you.
Well, you're very kind. That it goes both ways, Randy. Continued success, and we'll speak soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So, watch fans, that was my one-on-one interview with good friend and founder of 11 James, Randy Brandoff. I'd like to thank him for his time. You can check out his website, www.11james.com, to check out what's going on with him, and maybe sign yourself up for a one-year membership so you can try before you buy. I'd also like to thank Shalboy Music and DJ Flipside for providing the musical tracks to this podcast. If you want to know what's going on with me and what's going on in the watch industry, you can check out my website at www.amitdevhonda.com. You can also check me out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.